today on The Word of Truth Revealed.
Anytime God is trying to enter something fresh, vibrant, and dynamic, your first inclination is, that ain't God, because it doesn't match what you know or what you're familiar with. God don't use new people in church. You got to be there 15 years first. Who told you that? God doesn't use new visions. Who told you? I'm going to tell you what God doesn't do. He doesn't come off of the mainframe to fit you. He doesn't change plumb lines. He doesn't contradict his word or his order. That's what God doesn't do.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Don't Resist the Move. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 10 through 15.
And one of the reasons why you won't get with God is you're not motivated until somebody does something for you. Jacob didn't lift the boat off the well for himself. He lifted the boat off the well for that which was coming to him. Glory to God. And if you start giving that well, get the boat off of your wallet, get the boat off of your well, you'll start seeing a new flow in your life. I know that's hard for somebody to catch, but I'll preach to myself. You got some boulders on your flow, and you need to know how to sow to get it off. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now listen, the scripture says, so the Spirit lifted him up. But he went in bitterness, dragging his feet. Glory to God. Armor bearer, come in for a minute. Man, you decked out. Where you getting them shoes from? What you doing, man? Now listen, if we're going south, I want you to resist me now a little bit. Don't pull too hard, right? Okay. But if we're going south, I'm trying to pull him south, but he's resisting. It's difficult. That's what the man was doing. He's trying to go south with the man, but the man pulling a little bit. Go with me now, come on. Right, he's just resisting a little bit. See, some of us, we so locked down in the resistance, we can't be pulled. He went, but he went in bitterness of soul. Glory to God. Thank you, sir. Some of us come to church, but it's because our woman told us to come. Some of us doing, but circumstance told us to come. It wasn't our heart. God is trying to carry you. Some of us said at the top of the year, God, I'm going to do better. We're in the third month. Ain't no movement at all. And when you do it, you almost act like somebody should reward you for it. Do you have bitterness of soul when you do what God is trying to do for you? Think about people saying, I didn't want to preach, and the Lord had me to preach anyway. That's what we're talking about right here. Stop talking that about I didn't want to do it. Get lost with that. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. You got to get to a point where you just stand underneath God, then you'll understand God. Some of us want to understand him before we obey him. But you can't understand what you're not willing to stand underneath. This is what's happening with the generation that we're dealing with now. You want everybody to explain themselves before you move. But if I got to tell you everything, you won't exercise faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. I don't know where I'm going. I'm trying to follow God and his Spirit, and he's pulling me. You know it when he's pulling you. You know it when he's pulling you. You can feel it when he's pulling you. Stop resisting the pull of God. And just flow with God. The old folk used to say, you'll understand it better by and by. By the morning comes and all of God's people begin to gather in the house of the Lord, you will tell the story in how you overcome, and you'll understand it better by and by. The story comes after the obedience. I shouldn't give you the story and you haven't done anything. Glory to God. This ain't a movie. I don't have trailers. We're making the movie as we go. We are living epistles. We are writing history as I move. I'm in the 21st century. I'm moving out ahead. He's carried me out in the spirit. I can see what the Lord wants to do. And he's not just using one man. He wants to use all of us to get the work done. He wants to pull you out of your hamlet and your village and out of your self-centeredness and get you into the way called the way of Christ. Jesus said, I am the way and I am the truth and the life. Nobody can come to God unless you go through Jesus. Glory to God. So let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. If you believe in God, Jesus said, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many rooms. You will never understand the room until you enter into it. Stop trying to understand God through a lens of religion and ignorance and tradition and become relevant with God and flow with his spirit. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Let me slow it down. Amen. So everybody can get it. Oh my God. Let me slow it down. So everybody can get it. Stop resisting the spirit. Truth revealed. I'm going with the Holy Ghost. Can the church say amen? Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. They say, what's wrong with this man? I'm a modern preacher. I'm a modern preacher. I ain't going way back nowhere. I ain't got triple negatives on following Jesus. I ain't got no nothing going back way well. No. I'm moving with the Spirit. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. I heard the noise. The Bible says, so the Spirit lifted me up, took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit. I was angry. But the hand of the Lord was stronger than my anger. Man, this is so powerful. Man, let me tell you something. Many of us have resisted God, but his purpose was stronger than you. His hand was stronger than your anger and your bitterness and your discontentment. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Then I came to the captives and dwelt by the river, and I sat where they sat. He took me to a place where I had to sit where they sat. I wouldn't see until I was sitting where they sat, till I can identify with them. And I had to stay there for 7 days before the understanding came. The phrase, the Spirit blows where it wills, is a common expression that we've all heard over the years. The Spirit blows where it wills. This expression has often been used, I believe, to describe the unpredictable nature, the unpredictable, uncontrollable nature of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit blows where he wills is a phrase to describe the unpredictable, uncontrollable nature of the Holy Ghost, as seen, I believe, in John chapter 3 and verse 8. Another assignment for you to read, they can put it on the screen, John 3 and 8. The Spirit blows where it wills to describe the unpredictable and uncontrollable nature of the Holy Ghost, or the nature of God. As Jesus is having a conversation with a man by the name of Nicodemus who couldn't understand salvation. Jesus said, you must be born again. And he says something, the wind, glory to God. The wind blows where it wills. No one can control it. You can't tell the wind to blow south or to blow east or to blow west. And this is why churches that try to control the move of the Spirit will never be successful. You may have people gathering because you have good order, but it don't mean the wind is blowing because people gather. You can't control the move of the Spirit. It's unpredictable and uncontrollable. The only thing you can do with the Spirit is allow him to blow as he will, and you go with the wind. Go with the wind of the Spirit or the direction that he's blowing in you or blowing you to, and do not resist it in bitterness or in hot anger or fervent anger. Yield to the Spirit and let him blow you in. In Mark chapter 1, we see the servant of the Lord, or the ox of God. God uses an ox to describe who Jesus looks like. In Matthew, he uses a lion from the tribe of Judah. In Mark, he uses an ox. In Luke, he uses a man, the Son of Man. The Son of Man, a man is shown. And in John, he uses an eagle flying. Glory to God. Blessed be the name. Why would God associate us with beasts like that? Why would he associate the prophet with an eagle? Glory to God. Because we're supposed to see he has high perception. Why would he associate me? Let the ox that treads out the corn, you can't muzzle him. Why would he associate me with an ox? Because I'm a beast of burden. I'm supposed to be able to carry the burden of God's people back to him. Glory to God. And if you just see the preacher with a chain, but don't see me carrying burdens. I don't like to associate with an ox. I would rather associate with an eagle, but that's what he called me to. And that's what you got to read the scripture and stop seeing yourself as a Mary Kay woman or as a Planet Fitness man. You got to see yourself as God designed you. Glory, hallelujah. Man, I'm preaching better. You saying amen. You got to learn how to drag your burden. You got to learn how to work with God. You got to learn how to work with a yoke and bind yourself to a mission and stick with it until the job is done. Glory to God. My God, help me, Jesus. I'm trying, my God. The Spirit blows where he wills. It's describing the unpredictable and the uncontrollable nature of God. Thank you, Jesus. And that's how Jesus likens the Spirit. So why would I try to control him? Why would you try to control him when he's urging you to do something that you really wouldn't do? He wants to take you up and take you out, but you want to stay where you are. You happy with what you've been able to do, but God says, time now. I got to show you a different scene. Let that go so you can move over here. And I'm going to set you in the midst of the captives, and I want you to sit there quiet for 7 days. My God. What is the biblical context? John chapter 8 and verse 3. As I shared with you, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about being born of the Spirit. And the wind blows where he wills. And so this is how salvation is. You can't explain it all. You must be born again. We use the term of the wind blows where it wills. You can't enter the second time into your mother's womb to be born. That which is flesh, and that which is spirit. You're born of the Spirit. Glory to God, and the wind blows where it wills. And so if the Spirit is unpredictable, there's a part of us that needs to trust God. If the Spirit is unpredictable now, there's a part of us that needs to understand that God is spontaneous, but he doesn't violate his word. And if he's spontaneous, there's a measure of trust and faith that we need if we're going to follow him. Just like you can't see or control the wind, stop trying to control God and just go with him. So when we talk about the wind blows where it wills, God is in control. He can move us to whatever dimension he wants to move us in. In the book of Acts chapter 7 and verse 51, this is going to hurt. Stephen is preaching his last sermon before he's executed. He said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you." Anytime God is trying to enter something fresh, vibrant, and dynamic, your first inclination is, that ain't God, because it doesn't match what you know or what you're familiar with. God don't use new people in church. You got to be there 15 years first. Who told you that? God doesn't use new visions. Who told you? I'm going to tell you what God doesn't do. He doesn't come off of the mainframe to fit you. He doesn't change plumb lines. He doesn't contradict his word or his order. That's what God doesn't do. But what he does is build on the mainframe. You got to build on the rock and build on the foundation that's laid versus trying to establish your own. Your ministry, your personal ministry is not a foundation. The foundation is laid in the church. The church is the vehicle. So what technology has opened it up where everybody can have a voice? That doesn't mean God opened it up for you to have one. Just like even though the internet opened up, you can only have one president. You can only have one CEO of a company. You can only have one that's running an entire network called the U.S. Armed Forces. Anybody else is illegitimate. You can't go and establish your own militia. But when you come to the church, you believe because we got Facebook and internet that you have a right to have a voice. But you got to stand on the foundation. Where did the Spirit blow you? He didn't blow you to freedom. He blew you to the river Kabar to sit by the captives and keep your mouth closed for 7 days. Did you obey him? Did you obey him when you went? You resisted it, but did you obey him and yield? Was the hand of the Lord stronger than your resistance? Thank you, Lord. Then Stephen said, is stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. When you can't feel what I'm saying, it means you're stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, and you resist the move of the Spirit. The New Living Translation says it like this: you stubborn people. Y'all don't want to hear this, but I got to preach it. You stubborn people. You're heathen at heart and deaf to the truth. Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? That's what your forefathers did. Your ancestors did it, and now you're doing it. Look at the word. I got to deal before I close with the spirit of stubbornness. It's a stubborn spirit that is being released in the midst. It's a resistance to what God is trying to do. Glory to God. And forming your own ways, own denominations, own diocese, trying to organize something that God never ordained. You got to check your own soul. The spirit of stubbornness refers to the persistence, determination to hold on your personal beliefs, your personal actions, even when faced with opposition. You believe you're going through by holding on to your personal beliefs had nothing to do with God. Your personal convictions, even when there's opposition. In other words, if you say, God told me to start a church, but you're never able to pay the bill, you got to ask me to pay the church bill. In other words, you're a pastor, right? God told you to pastor. But you got to have others, even family members, to pay the rent on the building. Even through opposition, after several years, you believe God has still told you to do that when you got to borrow from Peter to pay Paul. Because wherever he guides, he will provide. So if there's no provision, maybe we have a faulty vision. Have you ever thought about that? If there's no provision, we know we go through hard times, but if there's never provision, if you got to borrow or steal or do any of that as a grown person, maybe God isn't calling you to do what you do. If you say you're grown, you got a girlfriend or whatever, and you got to borrow money to pay your bills, I'm telling you, you need to leave her alone and go home. Let me say it again. You say you're grown, you're a man, you got a girlfriend you taking care of, and you got to ask me to help you with bills. I'm telling you, you're off. She's not my girl. She's your girl. And if she's yours, you should provide for her. And if you can't, you should go home. Any woman taking care of a man, you lost your mind. I said, if you got to take care of a man, you've lost your mind. Yes, you're in the marriage, we help each other. But if you taking care of a man, that's love. You have lost your way. He's not my man, so why are you asking me to help you? You think that's church to help you through? God will choke out money to get your attention. Because many of us wouldn't move if the money's flowing. But when it drips, he's trying to get attention. I need you to go with the Spirit. I know you're resisting it, but go with the Spirit. Sit among the captives for 7 days, then I'll speak to you. Some of y'all want a pastor, but you don't know what pastoring is about today. We have lost our way. And that's why God has raised me up. And there's a stubborn spirit there. You can see year after year it's not working and you won't shift, even though the Spirit is telling you to shift. I don't know who it's for, but I'm just going to preach it anyway. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know nothing. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm talking to somebody. Under the sound of my voice. Thank you, Jesus. That stubborn spirit is deep. It will also come with a contrary attitude. And that contrary attitude eventually is going to lead to conflict and a lack of flexibility. In other words, we should be flexible. See, even the law needs an interpreter. Thank you, Lord. And this is why we have laws on the books. But if you find yourself coming under the vice of the law, usually an attorney can negotiate things. Then you sit before a judge. The attorney can get certain things thrown out so the law will become flexible for you. Oh, my God. You didn't admit it right. You didn't handle things right. You didn't collect evidence right. Oh, so we're going to throw this out, even though the law is right. The lawyer can come and balance things out on your behalf, depending on what you can pay for. And then a judge can say, you know what, I see all of this and that, but I'm going to move this way. That's the system that we have. Some people only see law as something concrete and want to come underneath it, but the law can be bent but not broken. I know I'm treading on some dangerous waters here. I said it can be bent but not broken. It depends on who's the one that's negotiating for you. They can bend it without breaking it. Even in government and working in churches, if you looked at what the law says that the church should do, and that's all you see, we could not fulfill the call of God. So there's some things that can be bent without broken. Thank you, Lord. For instance, every Sunday night, I used to take cash and give it out to people who have needs. Nobody had a problem with it. They only have a problem if I get cash. People from other churches were coming here. I need medicine. Guess what we did? We could, for years, reaching into the offering. landed here, give us cat on a Sunday night, and making sure we're taken care of for years. Nobody was complaining about it until someone throws money on an altar or walk up and give it to me. Whoa, he's after money. But why didn't you say something when I was giving it out? So if the law says you can't bend it, you got to look at, can you bend it for the homeless? Can you bend it without breaking it? It depends on how you see it. We're helping people. When the internet opened up, a lawyer told me it's not a good site. So what we want you to do is make the adjustment. I said, you're telling the truth, because some people see my hand going in the offering and says he's taking money out and putting it in his pocket. That never happened, but it can be interpreted that way. And he gave me wisdom that you need to watch that, sir. I see your heart, but these people don't care. So we changed our behavior to not break the law. Y'all understand me? So when you're just looking at things from an outside, you don't understand it. You never stood underneath. You wouldn't see the years of us taking care of medicine, which is a good practice. Somebody needed their rent paid, and people came in and said, I'm going to give $100. I'm going to give $100 from our ministry to make sure that lady's rent was paid. That don't get the news though, right?
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, don't resist the move, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
We invite you to join us for a joyous celebration of 30 years of steadfast faith and serving with unwavering devotion. Don't miss this opportunity to celebrate with us on Friday and Saturday, March 28th and 29th at 7 p.m. and Sunday, March 30th at 8 and 11 a.m. to experience inspiring services featuring heartfelt reflections on our global impact and the lives transformed over the past 3 decades. Help us honor this milestone and become a part of our legacy.
Connect your middle and high schoolers with their peers in a fun and high energy environment where they can be mentored and grow together every Sunday at 11 a.m. Join the movement. Come thrive with us. If you are ready to share words of hope and healing and use your talents to bring great joy to many people, then the Nursing Home Ministry is looking for you. To get involved, email nursinghome@truthrevealed.org.
Ladies, remember to join Pastor Sabrina for Women's Sunday School in the Sanctuary at 10 a.m.
If you are ready to belong, grow, connect, and serve, new members' classes are still in session. Email connect@truthrevealed.org for a schedule of classes and how to get started.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
The WWBC 1510 AM radio, the Christian voice of Brevard, has an official Facebook page. Check it out, like our posts, and leave a comment and follow us as well on WWBC 1510 AM radio.